It's December the 15th. Let's read the Bible. Welcome back, friends, to this year-long journey from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. So glad to have you with us. We are 10 days out from Christmas. We are marching through the month of December. We are going through Advent. We are making our journey to Bethlehem to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you can tell, if you're in 1 John, you're near the end of the New Testament. Tomorrow we're going to be Zephaniah, near the end of the Old Testament. The whole thing is coming to a grand climax in the days to come. Don't forget, December 26th through 31, live from right here, 7 a.m. Central Time. Last 6 days, we're going to read live the book of Revelation together. And as I've told you, don't worry, I want you to be here live. But if you can't be live, it will be posted on Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, and of course, on the Keep Believing website. So somebody sent this note in on December the 2nd. Good morning, Pastor Ray. Riding the Bible bus this year has been a wonderful blessing. We will be coming aboard in January for another trip. Yesterday, we started our Advent alphabet book you wrote. We pray for you, Marlene, and all the other Bible bus riders every day and hope others will continue to join us. God bless. Well, thank you for hopping on the Bible bus, and thank you most of all for your prayers. Means a great deal to us. Now, we're in the book of 1 John. Yesterday, Marlene read 1 John 1, 2, and 3. Just a moment. She's going to return to read 1 John chapters 4 and 5 and wrap up the book. You know, I didn't give you my title for this book yesterday, and I simply call it Walking with Jesus. Walking with Jesus. And I think that's a key part of it. John says, I'm writing this so that our joy may be complete, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And I take that both ways. If we walk in the light of God, we have fellowship with God, and we have fellowship with our brothers and sisters, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from every sin. Remember, there's no name attached to this. We know from church history and ancient tradition and just reading it, it's obvious John wrote this book, but there's no name, there's no place, there's no date. It's called one of the general epistles. It was written about the year AD 90 when John was a very old man, writing, we believe, from Ephesus. He was the last surviving apostle. In fact, by AD 90, there weren't many people left who had ever met Jesus personally, knew him from his ministry. This is about 60 years after Jesus walked on the earth, so were a couple of generations from the first generation to the second to the third generation. And now the gospel is spread all over the Roman Empire. So by and large, John is writing to people who never personally knew our Lord. And there's trouble. There's, as the gospel has exploded across the empire, the devil has fought back, and there's trouble everywhere. And so John, an old man, knowing his time is short, writes to say three things. Number one, the gospel is true, and we can believe it. Number two, false teachers must be identified. They must be rejected. Number three, the supreme mark of our faith is that we truly love our Christian brothers and sisters. How can you say you love God, whom you have not seen, if you don't love your brother, whom you have seen? That's a question from chapter three. And I think the end of it all is to say that by believing the gospel, by walking in the truth, by living in love, we can know, we can absolutely know that we have eternal life. And that's the question I want to talk about at the very end. Can we really know that we are going to heaven when we die? So here's the outline. Walk in light, chapter 1. Walk in the truth, chapter 2. Walk in love, chapters 3 and 4. And finally, walk in victory, chapter 5. So I'm going to turn it over to Marlene, and she is going to read for us now 1 John chapters 4 and 5.
1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and you have conquered them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we may live through him. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we remain in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent his Son as the world's Savior. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. And we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. In this, love is made complete with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world. Therefore, there is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears is not complete in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," and yet hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. For the person who does not love his brother or sister, whom he has seen, cannot love God, who he has not seen. And we have this command from him: the one who loves God must also love his brother and his sister. Chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father also loves the one who is born of him. This is how we know that we love God's children: when we love God and obey his commands. For this is what love for God is, to keep his commands. And his commands are not a burden, because everyone who has been born of God conquers the world. This is the victory that conquered the world, our faith. Who is the one who conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Jesus Christ, he is the one who came by water and blood, but not by water only, but by water and by blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three are in agreement. If we accept human testimony, God's testimony is greater, because it is God's testimony that he has given about his Son. The one who believes the Son of God has this testimony within himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The one who has the Son has life. The one who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have before him: if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. If anyone sees a fellow believer committing a sin that doesn't lead to death, he should ask, and God will give life to him, to those who commit sin that doesn't lead to death. There is sin that leads to death. I am not saying he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin that doesn't lead to death. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not sin. but the one who is born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know the true one. We are in the true one, that is, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, guard yourself from idols.
Thanks, sweetheart. Tremendous. First of all, she did a great job. Thank you, sweetheart, for reading. It just encourages me to look at her and listen to her, read the Word of God. Almost would be married in August, almost 50 years, and I still smile when I look at her, and it just, to hear her read God's Word, it makes my faith stronger to do that. Just this. At the end of this book, this is what John says. He wants to tell us Jesus is real. He really came. He really lived. He really walked on the earth. He was the Son of God. And the question, how can you know you're saved? 1 John 5:10, the one who believes in the Son of God has this testimony within himself. What do you mean? The one who does not believe God has made him a liar because he's not believed in the testimony God has given about his Son. Verse 11, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And look now, verse 12, the one who has the Son has life. The one who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Boy, that's pretty clear, isn't it? If you know Jesus, you have eternal life, not just in the future, not just in the sweet by and by, not just in heaven, but eternal life begins today. It begins the moment you trusted Jesus Christ. So if you trusted him 17 years ago, your eternal life with God began 17 years ago. He who has the Son, what? Has life. And if you don't know Jesus, if you don't have the Son, if you don't trust in him, you may have many things, but you do not have eternal life. You may have money. You may have power. You may have fame. You may have a good reputation. You may have a big portfolio. You may have a lot of the stuff that the world counts as signs of greatness. But if you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. So I was raised in a Baptist church, the First Baptist Church of Russellville, Alabama. Me and my three brothers, Andy and Alan and Ron. Mom and Dad made sure, particularly when we were younger, made sure we were in church all the time. They would dress us up and send us to church. And I remember from nursery, cradle roll, beginners, juniors, intermediates. That's what we used to be called. And then whatever was above the intermediates, I guess it was junior high and high school, all the way through. Sunday school had the quarterly, bring your Bible, fill out that little card, all of that. When I was about 9 years old, I had gone to Shockley Springs Baptist Assembly and with the youth group. And the pastor called me out and he asked me if I'd actually made some kind of profession of faith. Well, I was just a little scared. I said, yes, sir. But really, I hadn't, but I didn't know what to say. And he told me to come forward. And the following Sunday, I went forward and joined the First Baptist Church. And the pastor introduced me, and I was voted in, and people came by, gave me the right hand of fellowship, and voted into the church. And here's the thing. I didn't know it then. And I understand how this happens. But I didn't know Jesus. But I didn't know that I didn't know Jesus. I just knew I was a member of the church, and for about 7 years, I was very active in the church, memorizing the Bible and leading the youth group, and very, very, very active there. And in June of 1969, we had a youth retreat at Tishomingo State Park in Tishomingo County, I guess that is, in North Mississippi. And I was one of the speakers at the youth retreat. And I got up and gave some message. I just want to say, thank God we didn't have tape recorders. Thank God there was no video. Thank God there's no place on YouTube you can go to watch it, because that message was utterly forgettable. But I gave it. I didn't, I was into religion, but I didn't know Jesus. And there was a group of people, college students, who came to that retreat from a radical college group I had never heard of, from the University of Alabama, radical, never heard of it, called Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CRU, of course. I'm saying it radical because in 1969 in North Alabama and Northeast Mississippi, Campus Crusade wasn't then what it would become so worldwide famous. And these young people came from the University of Alabama and gave their testimony. And I'll tell you, it was like the lights went on and my eyes were open. And I realized I had religion. They had reality. I talked about Jesus, but they knew him personally. All that weekend, that bothered me, troubled me. I couldn't figure what was the difference, because I knew how to pray. And I could probably quote 50, 60 verses of the Bible. I knew how to argue Baptist beliefs against kids from other churches. I knew all that stuff, but I didn't know Christ personally. No one had ever said to me, Ray, are you saved? Are you born again? Do you really know the Lord? And troubled I was. Friday night, Saturday night. Came home from the youth retreat on Sunday morning. And I remember, you know, again, I've commented on certain moments are just burned into your memory. It was June 21st, 1969. It was about 5:15 p.m. in the afternoon. I walked outside our home in Woodland Hills in Russellville, Alabama, and sat on the concrete steps not far from the front door. And I was just troubled. Later, I would come to understand I was under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But I knew that I had religion, but I didn't have reality. And I prayed a simple one-sentence prayer, Jesus, if you are real, come into my life. That's all. Jesus, if you are real, come into my life. That's not an approved evangelistic come to Jesus prayer, but it was real for me. Jesus, if you're real, come into my life. He was. He did. I didn't hear the angels sing, but I knew something had happened. I knew in that moment Christ had come in. But what do you do next? I walked inside my house. Almost haphazardly, I flipped open my Bible. And what do you know? In the providence of God, it opened to the book of 1 John. I didn't know it then, but 1 John is a wonderful book for brand new Christians to read. And I came to this passage, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Right then and there, when I read it, I knew that I had eternal life. Now, I want to say this and wrap everything up. From that day until this, I have doubted many things about myself. From that day until this, 54 years later, I have stumbled. I have made mistakes. I have gone down dead ends and cul-de-sacs. And I have doubted myself many times. But I'll tell you this, I've never doubted that Jesus is real and that he did come into my life. I believe you can know. You can know with absolute certainty that when you lay your head on your pillow tonight, you are going to heaven. How? John says, all of this is written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. I have that certainty, not because there's anything in me, because there's nothing particularly good in me, nothing particularly admirable in me. Anything that is useful in me has come by the grace and goodness of the Lord. But I do know that I have eternal life because at 5:15 p.m., June 21st, 1969, I prayed the prayer. I trusted in Christ. He came in. And I know I have eternal life. And that's not unusual for me to be able to say that. You can say that too. If you know, if you've believed in Jesus Christ, you can know that you have eternal life. I hope and pray that is your certainty today. If you don't know him, run to the cross. Put your trust in him. Maybe today would be the best day of your life, the day when you come to trust in Jesus Christ. Okay, that's the end of our time together. Go out and have a great day. Just a few days left until Christmas. Remember this, if you know Jesus, you have eternal life. Right here and now. Go out and rejoice in that certainty. Have a great day, folks. Come back tomorrow. We're going from a book we know back into the Old Testament, book hardly anybody ever reads, Zephaniah. I got a story to tell you about Zephaniah, too. God bless. Have a great day. Come back tomorrow. We'll do this again.